One of the best teachers I ever had said, you cannot understand what you don't know. You have to know something first, know a subject first, before you can try and understand it. Sad to say, a lot of Christians think that they can approach God's Word, the Bible, and understand it before they know it. And if there's one thing that has become glaringly obvious in American Christianity, it is the real problem of biblical illiteracy. Christians who simply don't know their way around the book. Now, it's not about being an expert in the Bible or being able to rattle off all 66 books from memory, but it is about having a basic familiarity with the book. Who wrote them? What are they about? How do they fit together? How does the history fit together? And that goes for both Old and New Testament. This is why the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for September is a great resource, especially for young, when time is ripe to learn such things and begin to become a lifelong student of God's Word. The book is called Concordia's Complete Bible Handbook for Students. It goes over the basics. It simply introduces each of the books of the Bible, shows the relationship to one another, and gives the beginning student of the Bible a good overview of the entire book and equips them for life for studying the book in all of its specificity and its particulars. The book is called The Concordia's Complete Bible Handbook for Students. You can browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House and order this for a student of any age that you know. 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. Ask for Concordia's Complete Bible Handbook for Students, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for September. One of those stories that ought to be familiar to us, it's actually a story within a story. The story of Jacob and Esau is long and involved. Jacob and Esau are estranged from one another for a number of reasons. Jacob flees, he's gone for decades, and when he finally comes back at God's direction, before he encounters his brother, he encounters someone else by night. An angel, a man he struggles with all night long, turns out to be more than just an angel. And man, how do these things fit together in the story of Jacob and Esau and their eventual reconciliation? Joining us to talk about Esau and Jacob, Tom Numala. He's editor of Sunday School Materials and Teachers Interaction Magazine for Concordia Publishing House, CPH, has a Sunday school curriculum called Growing in Christ. Tom, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you, Todd.
The story, it's really a story within a story. It's a story of Jacob estranged from his brother, returning, unsure of what will happen. But in the middle of it, at a very crucial point, we have the famous story of Jacob wrestling with the angel all through the night. How does that wrestling story fit within the greater story of Jacob and Esau, these two brothers?
Well, you remember, Todd, when we pick up from the previous story, that Jacob has been for 20 years up in Haran, living in the family of his uncle Laban. He's married two of Laban's daughters, had 11 of his 12 sons, and toward the end of that 20 years, he gets a message from God about the second half of this journey, if you will. God comes to Jacob and says, Jacob, it's time to return. This may not have been good news for Jacob. He left under a death threat 20 years earlier, and going back to his family in the Promised Land was a very unnerving activity for him. That brings us to his departure. The story picks up in Genesis chapter 32. Jacob turns to the Lord in prayer and says, God, this is your command. It's your will. Let's see where it goes. He begins his journey, and in the middle of that journey, as you just say, he encounters God. That night of wrestling takes place, and at the end of that night of wrestling, Jacob is blessed. His new name is given from Jacob to Israel. Jacob continues on his way to meet his brother Esau.
Is it with a mere angel that Jacob wrestles, or is there something more going on here?
Oh, definitely something more in this text. Hosea writes in chapter 12, in the womb, Jacob took his brother by the heel, and in his manhood, he strove with God. He strove with an angel and prevailed. He wept and sought favor. The scriptures are clear that the being, the human form that Jacob wrestled with that night, was no mere man, no mere angel, but was God in human form.
What does that mean, then, that right in the midst of this moment of kind of final conflict, or at least that's what he anticipates, with Esau, God would visit him and basically hold a wrestling match with him all night long.
What a wonderful picture it is, Todd, that God comes to Jacob in his time of trouble. He causes him additional struggle, additional pain, including a hip that's placed out of joint. And in the middle of that wrestling, at the end of that wrestling, gives Jacob a great blessing. That's where it is for us, too, in our daily struggles, that though we may face trials and temptations, we can know that God is there with a blessing, one that we don't see right away, one that we could only anticipate, one that we know that is promised to us by God. The text here is very much a picture for us of what takes place in our personal lives.
I want to come back to the wrestling match in a minute, but let's kind of finish the familiar part of this story, and that would be he still has Esau to contend with, and Jacob is a rather crafty individual. What does he do to try and smooth things over with Esau even before the two men actually meet for the first time in many years?
Jacob's plan is a very complex one. He sends forth his servants with a number of gifts for Esau, impressive gifts, camels, goats, cows, donkeys, in great numbers, as presents for his brother Esau, and he sends them on one at a time, with each one saying, your servant Jacob is coming behind. When Esau is not too far away, Jacob then lines up his family. First, the servant girls with their children, his wife Leah with her children, followed by Rachel with her children, all as a way of, I guess you might say, impressing Esau before their first encounter. The Bible is clear. It says that he's trying to appease Esau, trying to prepare him for his meeting with Jacob. Luther has an interesting take on that, though. Luther says that Jacob had already prayed to God to bless this reunion with his brother. Now he's doing what God has provided him to the ability to do. He's preparing for that meeting by providing gifts for Esau and letting Esau know what a rich man Jacob is returning to his family, the rich man that he has become.
When they finally do meet, Jacob and Esau, in a human sense, it's difficult to see how any reconciliation can take place. Jacob has, if I remember correctly, cheated him out of his, or tricked him out of his birthright. I guess you could say he was tricked. He maybe bargained with him out of the birthright. And then the blessing from Esau, he just stole right under his nose and fled away. How is it that the two men do meet finally?
They approach each other about halfway between Haran and Edom, the new region in which Esau has settled. And all of the gifts that Jacob has offered, all of the parade they provided, seems to have been unnecessary. The scriptures tell us that Esau rushed forward and embraced Jacob with great love. Esau had already forgiven Esau, his brother Jacob, and was prepared to welcome him back into his family. He refuses the gifts, though Jacob then turns around and offers them again as a gift of thanksgiving, which is a wonderful token for us. Jacob's worries were for nothing. God had already planned this occasion to take place. God had already arranged the blessing. How often that is the case for us as well, that though we are nervous and upset as we approach the future, God has a plan. God promises to bless. We are his children through baptism. We will be his children even through our eternal life. We can count on that blessing just as Jacob did, in fact, count on God's blessings.
I'm intrigued by something Jacob says when Esau returns the gifts. He says, I've had enough, my brother. Keep what you have for yourself. Jacob says in verse 10 of chapter 33, no, please, if I have found favor in your sight, then accept my present from my hand. For I have seen your face, which is like seeing the face of God, and you have accepted me. Please accept my blessing that is brought to you because God has dealt graciously with me, and because I have enough. He urged him, and he took it. It almost sounds as though he's making a connection between the mercy, the forgiveness that Esau has shown him, and the mercy that God has shown him.
you've got it right, Todd. That's exactly what Jacob is doing. He is connecting his nighttime vigil with God with his encounter with Esau. It may have even been the case that he thought initially that he was wrestling with Esau that previous night. It's Esau that he's been wrestling with all his life. God makes it clear in that nighttime wrestling match that it is God who is there. But Jacob has been prepared. Jacob has seen God and is now prepared to see God also in this reconciliation with Esau.
Let's talk again about that nighttime struggle, because if it is in fact God himself that approaches Jacob at night to struggle with him, then it's a far more serious encounter than it would have been even with, had it been Esau, who may have been, you know, still angry with him, wouldn't it have been?
There are only two men that I can think of in Scripture, Todd, who saw God and lived. One was Jacob at this point in his life as he wrestles with God overnight. It even names that place where they wrestled, Penuel, that is, face-to-face with God. The second man was Moses, who years later would encounter God on the Mount of Sinai and ask to see God's face, a privilege which God denies Moses but says, remain in that cleft of the rock and I will pass by and you can at least look at my back. No others that I'm aware of in Scripture have had that privilege of seeing God face to face. It's a great privilege that we have, though, because we know where to find God. God has promised to be with us weekly in the divine service, daily when we encounter him in his word, weekly when we take him in the form of bread and wine at the communion. We have that great privilege to meet with God as well.
Well, when we come back, we'll talk about the nature of that meeting between us and God. Tom Numala of Concordia Publishing House is our guest.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Here are two new ways that you can promote Issues Etc. The Issues Etc. business card and the Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer. Simply go to the support page at issuesetc.org, click Issues Etc. business cards, print the page on suitable stock paper, and cut along the lines. We also have an 8.5 by 11 inch flyer for the bulletin board at your church. issuesetc.org, go to the support page, click Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer, and print.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Y'all been hearing about Country Bob's all-purpose sauce and how it tastes great on any and everything you may be cooking and serving at your family dinner table. Well, over the years, I've discovered that Country Bob's is much more than that. You see, Country Bob's is that secret ingredient in many of my recipes, whether it be for chili soups or stews or that favorite marinade for the select meat of the day we're grilling. If you're interested in discovering the secret, log on to countrybobs.com and check out their blog. Exchange recipes or buy yourself a Country Bob's cookbook and become part of the Country Bob's family. And remember, it all comes down to the sauce.
No gimmicks, no shticks, just straightforward preaching and teaching in accord with Scripture and the Lutheran confessions. By the book liturgy, right from the hymnal. No glitz, just Christ crucified for sinners like us. We're Grace Lutheran Church in Racine, Wisconsin. Come receive God's gifts with us. Find out more about us at gracelutheranracine, that's all one word, .net. And like you, we're proud supporters of Issues Etc.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. It's Tuesday afternoon, September the 6th. We're talking with Tom Numala, editor of Sunday School Materials and Teachers Interactive Magazine for Concordia Publishing House, about Esau and Jacob meeting one another after decades of hostility and estrangement from one another. Our listeners are great advertisers for Issues Etc. One of the places we often encourage our listeners to talk about Issues Etc. with those they know is at their church. Now, The particulars of the information are difficult to remember. Sometimes it's hard to remember the website, issuesetc.org, any of our contact information. I know you don't keep that at the tip of your fingers. Well, we have a way that we can make it easier for you, not only to talk about issues, et cetera, but to get that information into the hands of those who are interested. First is the Issues, Etc. Bulletin Board Flyer, a good conversation starter, one that you can download, print off, and put up at your church's bulletin board or bulletin boards right there at our website, issuesetc.org. Click support. Now, as to that contact information and getting it into the hands of fellow potential listeners, it's the Issues Etc. business cards. Now, these are 10 to a page. You can download and print them off on suitable stock, cut along the lines that we provide, put them in your wallet or your purse, take them with you wherever you go, and then you don't have to fumble around in your memory for any of the information. It's right there on the Issues Etc. business card. Issuesetc.org. Click support and help promote Issues Etc. with everyone you know. Tom, you mentioned before the break the privilege that we have of meeting face-to-face with God in the divine service. But by all rights, because we are sinners and He is holy, that ought to be a hostile meeting. What's different?
The difference? Clearly, it's Jesus. The Bible is full in the Old Testament of foreshadowings. The technical term is types, pictures that we can see of Jesus. Jacob is, for us, a type of Christ, a man who wrestled with God for a time and received a great blessing. Jesus wrestled with God for us for a time on the cross, and from the result of that wrestling, we receive that great blessing of salvation in Christ.
Can we also find Christ in this story in that, and you mentioned Moses as well, to see God face to face is to encounter Christ before His incarnation, even if it is hundreds of years before that incarnation.
Todd, you'd know better than I suppose, that where we can find the angel of the Lord. The pre-incarnate Christ and the visions that we see in the Old Testament seem to be very specific. I don't know that this is one. But we do see Jesus foreshadowed in Jacob. We see Jesus on the cross.
There is, I think for everybody, every Christian, unless they're kind of deluding themselves, Tom, there is a daily struggle. And in what ways do those continue to be struggles with a loving and merciful God?
Like Jacob, like Moses, like any human being, we really don't dare stand before God face to face, unprotected, unaided. Our sins are great, and in the face of the perfect and holy God, we know we can expect nothing but punishment and death. It's because of Jesus Christ and His suffering and death for us on the cross that we have the opportunity, the willingness, the ability to come before God and live. That's a great blessing for us in our daily lives, a great blessing for the children that will learn this story in Sunday school who come to God with their struggles and troubles.
You've mentioned this several times, but the worries and the anxiety that we face in our life are often, well, I guess we could maybe even say, always completely unnecessary. If God is true to form as He was with Jacob, then Jacob had nothing to worry about with regard to Esau. Do we have anything to worry about?
Surely life brings us things to worry about, Todd. It's impossible for us as human beings not to worry about struggles when we face them financially, physically, in terms of health, difficulties in our family, as Jacob certainly experienced. And it's often the case that we don't see a direct and immediate answer from God, whether it's a matter of timing or a testing from God, or maybe just God's plan that may be a little different than what we expect. Yet we still have God's promise. We pray every time we pray a Lord's Prayer, "Thy will be done." God's will is done in our lives. We can count on that promise.
Ultimately, what was it that changed the heart and mind of Esau from desiring to kill Jacob for the wrong that had been done to him, to openly forgiving him and receiving him again as a brother?
The Bible isn't clear in the text just exactly what has gone on in Esau's life in this intervening 20 years. We can guess that God has been at work in Esau's life just as he's been at work in Jacob's. It's no guess, real. It's a certainty that God has been at work. When Esau and Jacob do finally encounter each other, what we see is a picture of forgiveness and love.
Does it also show the futility of our attempts to win God's favor, to appease God, just as the Jacob's efforts were futile to try and win the favor of his brother?
Sure it does. God isn't ours to bargain with. He isn't ours to manipulate. But because of our faith in him, which in itself is a gift from God, we can trust his promise. We don't need to bargain with him. We need to trust him.
Speak briefly, if you would, in the last few minutes that we have, about the connection between this text and something that is all too real, even among Christians and Christian congregations, and that is family members who are estranged from one another. I mean, it could be brothers, it could be sisters, it could be parents and children. Talk about that briefly, if you would.
It's no doubt that those kinds of difficulties in family, the estrangement we experience from one another, is very real. What a wonderful reality it is for us, though, that we also have a God who, despite our rebellion, despite our sin, has chosen to love us, to give his Son to die for us. We can't always know exactly how that reconciliation is going to take place, but we do know that God is there to strengthen us through his word, to keep us firm in his faith, and that when we wrestle with difficulties in our family relationships, he is there to offer forgiveness and to give us new life so that we can offer forgiveness to others.
Tom Numala is editor of Sunday School Materials and Teachers Interaction magazine for Concordia Publishing House. CPH has a Sunday school curriculum called Growing in Christ. You can find out more about this. In fact, you can order a free sample from Concordia Publishing House by giving them a call toll-free, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, or you can find out more about it at our website, issuesetc.org. Look for Growing in Christ under the Listen on Demand page. Tom, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you, Todd.
All right, during tomorrow's first hour, we're going to continue our series, already very popular with our listeners, with Pastor Jeremy Rohde on the gospel for former evangelicals. In the next hour on this Tuesday afternoon, September the 6th, Pastor Brian Wolfmiller joins us. He says that we can actually find comfort, small c, not eternal comfort, but a kind of daily comfort in God's law. We'll see what he means by that. And then Pastor Matt Harrison is going to join us to talk about prayer. He's president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Jacob and Esau were estranged from one another. Wrong had been done. There's no two ways about it. We can't paper over what Jacob had done to his brother Esau. First, he takes advantage of him for the birthright. And that might be overlooked because that was a bargain struck in, well, good faith, so to speak. But Jacob actually steals the blessing following the birthright right out from under Esau's nose. And he does it at the request of his mother, and of course he does it because he's already known in the family to be the one who's going to usurp his brother, but he does it nonetheless, and Esau is rightfully sore at him. And these kind of things in our families can last for decades. They certainly did with Jacob and Esau. He's right to be afraid of Esau when he returns. But what he isn't figuring on, at least until he encounters the Lord on his way back, is who is actually running the show. If there's going to be mercy, it's going to have to be a divinely worked mercy. He is not going to be able to pay off Esau with gifts. He's not going to be able to appease him with gifts. When he encounters the Lord there before he meets his brother, and he struggles with the Lord all night long, he is left with a new name, really a new direction. You struggle with God and with man and have prevailed. This is the kind of God we have, so merciful that he is willing to struggle with us. so merciful, so forgiving, that he is willing to struggle for us. We struggle against sin. We struggle against the fear of death. And it finds its way into our lives, our sin destroying our lives. Jesus took on the struggle for us that led him ultimately to the cross, where we find, not only between us and God, but between us and one another, real mercy, real forgiveness. I'm Todd Wilkin. More Issues Etc. after this.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.